Since the early 70s, he's provided provocative designs, broken barriers, and become one of only six men to lead GM Design. On this week's show, On the Cusp of Retirement, we talk to Ed Welburn. Underwriting for Autoline this week has been provided by... And now, here's your host, John McElroy.
I want to thank you all for joining us on Autoline this week. Very special show today. We're shooting it in the Design Dome at General Motors. And that's because my special guest for the day is one of the most influential designers in the modern era in the history of the automotive industry. And of course, I'm talking with Ed Welburn, the Vice President of Global Design at General Motors.
So it's great to be here, and welcome to the Design Dome.
Oh, and you've got this incredible array of historic cars behind
us. A few of my friends are here as well, yeah.
Ed, what amazes me so much is if you look at the history of General Motors design, it goes back to the late 1920s.
Yes.
And you are only the sixth person to ever hold that position. I had to look this up. We had 15 U.S. presidents in the same time that General Motors has only had six vice presidents of design. It's got to be just so incredible to have the job that you do.
Well, it is, and there's not a day that I take it for granted. I mean, particularly the drive into work, I'm thinking about it, the responsibility that goes with it, the fun that goes with it. And then as I come through the gates and I see the design building and the design dome, this building, it's like, wow, it's cool.
You didn't fall into this job. I mean, you had your eye on design from a very early age.
Yeah, in fact, I've been crazy about cars all my life, been drawing them since I was like 2 1/2. And the car that's in the background, the Cadillac Cyclone, it was at the Philadelphia Auto Show when I was 8 years old, and that did it for me. I told my parents, that's it. I want to be a car designer for that company, and it was Cadillac.
Now, the history is you wrote a letter to the company saying just that.
Exactly.
Looking for advice of how to get the job.
Well, the thing is so funny. As a kid, I don't know if it's funny or not, but I was a slow reader, and my mother didn't care what I was reading as long as I was reading. And I was reading car magazines. I'd read them from cover to cover, and through those magazines, I found out where those cool cars like the Cyclone came from. And so I wrote a letter to GM Design, it's styling at the time. I was 11 years old, and I just wanted information about careers in design, and they sent me a wealth of information.
So you followed their advice.
I just followed their lead.
You got a degree?
I stayed in communication with them. I think I was 16 the next time I wrote them a letter. And through college, I was in the School of Fine Arts and Design Program
at Howard
University, mm-hmm. Yes. And I did a summer internship at the end of my junior year with GM. I sent in two applications. I sent one as a designer and the second application as a sculptor. I was getting into that program one way or another. I got in as a sculptor, and during the course of that summer, I did as much sketching as I did clay modeling. And at the end of that summer, they said they wanted me to complete my senior year at Howard. They wanted to hire me as a designer.
And your dream came true.
Dream came true. All of a sudden, I was in the big leagues these designers were incredible.
So walk us through that a little bit. You didn't stay at any one place. They moved you around in different places within GM Design.
It was their practice, and it still is today, that in your first year, you're in a rotation. You experience a number of different studio environments, so they can kind of gauge where you're best suited or what makes you feel comfortable, where you're the most productive. So I worked in four studios, an advanced Chevrolet design studio, the Pontiac production studio, where I did my first production design work, a tail lamp for the Pontiac Granville.
Everyone's got to start someplace.
Yeah, somewhere in a tail lamp. And I worked at Advanced Buick, and that's where I worked on some special Rivieras for Bill Mitchell. And that's where it really clicked in that studio, and I was assigned permanently to the Buick studio to work on Rivieras.
Riviera's a pretty good car to be able to work on.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, to do a car that expressive You know, it's sporty, yet it's luxurious, it had a lot of flair. And I kind of grew up around Rivieras. My father had one, so it just felt right for me.
Now, you talk a lot about Buick, but I think the first time I became aware of you as a journalist covering this business was with the Oldsmobile Aerotech.
Yes.
Which must have been in the late 80s,
mid-80s. Yeah, that was, you know, and I always credit that project as being a real turning point in my career, because not only was I sketching, creating the shape, you know, I created the shape for that vehicle, but I was also managing the project from a design perspective. So not just designing, but managing as well. And it's through that project that I learned the value of collaboration between designers and engineers and marketing and planning and, you know, communications as well.
So the audience knows the Aerotech was this one-off kind of race car. Well, it was a race car, right? Never raced. But it was out to set a world speed record, if I recall right, because Oldsmobile had come out with its quad four four-cylinder engine and wanted to show, hey, four-cylinder engines have plenty of power.
This particular one had 1,000 horsepower. It's a two-liter four-cylinder. I mean, the engine was, I mean, that's kind of a grenade. I mean, for something that small to have that kind of power. But can you imagine? There I am, a designer who loved the kind of cars that ran at Le Mans. So I may have been designing Cutlass Supremes and that type of thing for Oldsmobile, but off to the side I always had sketches of what I envisioned as a car for Le Mans. And so one day I was asked by my supervisor, you know, if I wanted to be involved in this special project. The chassis is from an Indianapolis race car. It has 1,000 horsepower, and the driver is the legendary A.J. Foyt. Are you interested?
And of course, you jumped at it.
Yeah,
a risk too, right? Sidetracking your production-related career for a one-off project?
The thing was, it didn't sidetrack. I did both. I mean, my very first sketch of Aerotech ended up being the sketch they went with. I had other ideas, but they went with the first one. By day, I was designing Cutlass Supremes, and in the evenings, I was working on Aerotech. We did all our wind tunnel testing in our tunnel on second shift. So it was two-shift kind of operation.
And the car went off to set some unbelievable speed record.
Yeah, what was so interesting, prior to that vehicle, the record had been traded. Foyt had it for a while with one of his Indy cars. And then Porsche broke the record with a 917. And then Mercedes did a high-speed research car that broke that record. And then we broke the record that Mercedes had. And we still hold that record today.
Yeah. Wow. People will have to look it up, but it's what, over 240 miles an hour?
256, 57 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And then we followed that up with a high speed, an endurance version of it, with an Aurora engine that ran for 8 days straight. 24 hours a day. I mean, unbelievable.
Eight 24-hour races.
And we set another 58 records for that car.
Unbelievable.
It's a great project.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So that's very interesting. You're saying that gave you your first really managerial experience in design.
Yeah. Managing, and I learned the value of collaboration and what great results you can get when you have a cross-functional team working together with a common vision. And it's a message that has stayed with me and has been a very much a part, I think, of the foundation of my beliefs in design.
And I'm seeing that throughout General Motors today, much more collaboration. You know, design used to be its own silo, engineering its own, manufacturing its own, and they all fought each other.
Yes, and the car was the victim. You know, at the end of the day, the car suffered because of it. Today, that collaboration it's everything. It's everything. And having a clear vision for that project up front just has great benefit.
You talked earlier about how you were moved all through design, that's what they did when you came in your first year.
Yeah.
Are you continuing that practice?
Yeah, we continue to do that. It's important. Number one, designers, when they're hired by GM or any of the other companies, those young designers are so well prepared. You know, that the schools are doing a fantastic job. You can put them on pretty significant projects day one, both interior design and exterior design. But we like to move them around a bit. with our company, we're able to not only move them around this facility here in Warren, but we have a network of 10 studios around the world, so they have that opportunity to work in one of them.
Yeah, I looked it up. It's, I think, 10 studios in 7 countries.
Yes.
I think I've got
yes.
that right.
Yeah.
You know, somebody from the outside would say, what do you need so many studios for?
Well, you know, each one has its area of expertise. You know, we have advanced design work in California, North Hollywood, very private studio there, very cool studio. Here in Michigan, we have kind of the hub for the whole global network is here, as well as an advanced studio in another building here at the Tech Center. And then the studio in Europe focuses really on the Opel brand, and the one in, which is in Germany, and then the one in India is focused, a lot of our IT, a lot of our data processing, that work happens there. It's a great team. Plus, they're a listening post into that market. They know that market better than anyone else, mm-hmm. which is great. And then we have a number of studios in China and Australia, a great, very creative force there, and in Korea and Brazil.
It's amazing because, you know, we know that General Motors shut down a number of brands, a number that
yeah.
you worked on,
yeah.
Saturn,
yeah, exactly.
you know, Pontiac,
know.
Hummer, and Oldsmobile, of course, being gone. And yet, when you look today, GM still has about 10 brands
yeah.
globally.
Yeah, when you look at, you know, the brands here in North America, Cadillac, Buick, GMC, Chevrolet. Chevrolet is really a global brand. And Opel and Vauxhall and Holden and Wuling and Baojun and FAW, you know, and these are significant brands. In particular, Wuling and Baojun are mm-hmm. huge brands.
You've got a huge staff. I think it's yeah. 2,500 people in GM design globally.
Yeah, you know, when you include a lot of people working the shops, it's close to 3,000. Yeah.
How do you manage that kind of a facility? Because, yeah. you know, designers are, they're the artists of the industry,
yeah, yeah.
and
yeah.
artists tend to go off in their own direction. Is it herding cats, or do you try to encourage
that,
too?
You know, what's interesting, I mean, a couple years ago, our chairman asked me, what is my greatest challenge? And I think it's managing 3,000 creative people in a major corporation because, you know, discipline and deadlines and budgets and all that aren't what you necessarily think of when you think of artists, but it's a great creative group. Frankly, I don't know the heads of design at the other companies, but it's important to me to know my own people. We have incredible technologies that allows me to communicate with all of those studios all over the world at any time. You know, virtual tools are just spectacular, but if you don't know the people, those tools are pretty useless.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah,
you've had a lot of fun in this job. I mean, obviously, you know, yeah. you're at the pinnacle of your career in one of the most important jobs in the industry for what you do. You got to be in a movie, though. Bring the audience up to speed a little bit about that. You were in the Transformers.
It was right here
movie.
In this room. You know, it's well, I've worked with Michael Bay on all of the Transformer movies.
Director of the movie.
The director of the movie, and from the very first one. And the idea of putting the Camaro in that movie, you know, he was looking for something special. I didn't want to show him the car because we were developing the concept car in secret. I wouldn't show it to him until he told me about the movie. He wouldn't tell me about the movie until he saw the car. I admit I gave in. I showed him the car. He told me all about it. And ever since then, with each one of those movies, we've worked together. He comes and visits me. We walk the studios looking for a vehicle, a character to go in the movie. So for the fourth one, he wanted to give me a little cameo role in there. And it was kind of fun. And it was...
You got to be the head of the CIA.
I got to yell at Mark Wahlberg is what I got to do, you know. And, you know, it was funny, first couple of takes, you know, I don't yell at people. I really don't do that. And you know, he wanted me to yell at him, and I just couldn't do it. And he said, well, if you had a problem in the studios, what do you do? I said, well, we'd have to talk about it in my office. Said, oh, now I want you to yell. So by the third take, I was yelling. And then he liked the way I yelled, so he added more words to it. So we ended up doing about 8 takes.
Did you have to get your Actors Guild card for that?
Well, you know, they wanted me to, and I considered all of that. But, you know, I'm not an actor. Mm-hmm. I would, you know, that's...
be kind of cool to have in your wallet.
It would be cool to have, but, you know... These are people who have had careers, they've studied the art, and it's just like letting just anyone design a car. I mean,
not going to let that happen.
Not going to let that happen, no.
They also converted your office.
Yes.
Which is a historic office. So yeah, tell the audience a little bit about it, because actually this whole site is quite historic.
Yeah, it's, I mean, the whole campus was designed by Saarinen, working very close with Hardy Earl.
And Saarinen, of course, being a very famous Finnish architect.
Incredible architect. And, you know, to this day, the buildings really serve us well. You know, I have an awful lot of respect for him. I've lived in his buildings for, you know, 44 years. Mm-hmm. But that office is even more special than the rest of the campus. And every time I walk into it, it just feels like something really special. Same desk, same furniture that Harley Earl had, and Bill Mitchell, and Wayne Cherry, and Chuck Jordan, and Irv Verbicki. Yeah.
What's amazing is, of course, that office is over half a century old right now,
yes,
but doesn't look dated.
No, it doesn't. In fact, I mean, that form of design is very hot right now. Yeah, I mean, mid-century design, and this is kind of the best of it. In fact, almost every year, I think just about every year, there's a whole group of people who follow mid-century architecture and furniture design and Saarinen, and they come for a visit. Yeah.
That's got to be something else. And so cool an office, of course, they decided to put it in the movie.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it had a role. We filmed in a number of areas. Filmed in a number of areas. My office, around the campus, right here in this room. In fact, we had to replace the floor here in the dome after an incredible burnout that they did with the Camaro. I mean, they just melted the rubber into the floor. You couldn't even chisel it off. It was...
So this room has played more roles than you would have ever thought of.
Yeah, exactly.
Ed, it's got to be quite a statement, too, to be the first African-American ever... First black person, let's just put it that way, to look on a global basis, ever appointed the head of design. That's got to be an honor for you as well.
It is. You know, there are times, you know, I don't really dwell on it. And when it was my goal to become a car designer, I never thought of the fact I might have been the first. It wasn't until I got here and got going that I realized that. And I also realized, in many ways, right or wrong, that I was representing more than myself. Because there are so many people who would look at me and, you know, I really was representing, you know, a whole group of people as representing African Americans. And I think it, at every step in my career, you know, and hasn't been the plan, but I was, you know, the first chief designer, the first executive director, and now the first, you know, head of design for a major car company. It's... Have there been challenges? Some, but it has been rewarding. Yeah, it has been.
As you say, it's a team effort. Nonetheless, you were even singled out earlier this year with having a wing of the Detroit Institute of Arts named after you.
Can you believe that?
To me, that is so cool. Because that's historic. That wing with your name on it is going to be around long after you're gone.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, and it's... That was, I mean, such a shock to me. And then in the midst of that shock, and I turned around and I remembered, you know, my instructor, Lois Jones, one of my most significant instructors at Howard University, her work is on display in that wing.
Wow.
Can you believe that? Yeah, I mean, just like, wow.
It's come full circle.
It's like, ooh.
Right. And, you know, just so those of the audience who are not familiar with it, the DIA, one of the preeminent art museums in the world, really, certainly
it's
in the United States.
It's an amazing place. Yeah. And everyone needs to spend time there,
there's a lot of great artwork there. And, of course, as you know, many automotive people played a role in getting that going, but it was the Ford family, Edsel Ford, Edsel Ford that played a big role. So a little bit of an irony that the Ford played a big role in it, and here's GM executive.
I'll take that.
What did you think would be, what would you like people to look back on and say, boy, when Ed was here, this was his legacy?
I think, what I'd like for that to be, and maybe what people think of, I don't know if it's one and the same, maybe it is, but I think creating this global organization, you think about it, my predecessor, you know, I'm only the sixth, my predecessors were the head of GM design for North America, and they had some influence globally. But the other studios that are around the world really ran independent of the one here. And 2 years into the period that I led design, the decision was made to make it one global design team. It's something that I had planned, carefully planned prior to getting it. But when it came into place, and it really didn't take long for it to become one global team, I really think that's probably the most significant thing. And in the past couple years, this global team has really gone to a whole nother level of sharing of ideas, and it's just so powerful. That is very powerful. I believe that beyond that global design team, that collaboration that we have with engineering in particular is something that is very important, because that did not exist at the same level, or it existed sporadically, you know, and there are certain pockets that had this great collaboration, but not universally. So I really think that is.
I think you hit on a key thing there, that the collaboration with engineering, probably manufacturing too, yeah. Because you can design something that's beautiful. If the engineers and the manufacturing yeah. people look at it and go, it's beautiful, but we can't make that, that right. was all for naught.
Yeah, there are periods in the auto industry where design would do their thing and throw it over the wall to engineering in hopes that it would hit production properly. There were some great cars that came out, but some others that weren't as good, and the quality wasn't necessarily there. And then the pendulum swung to engineering pretty much developing the whole vehicle and then giving it to design to make it look pretty. Well, that doesn't work either.
Too late.
That collaboration that we have today is important. And when you do that right, then it makes it a lot easier to make the car beautiful, make it a wonderful vehicle. When you have that collaboration, then you can get the proportions right. If you don't get the proportions right, forget about it.
Yeah. It's got to be great for your career. You hit a sweet spot, because, you know, when GM was headed into bankruptcy, it was so saddled with legacy costs that the investment in the product was really cut back. Everything was done on the cheap. Now, of course, I think there's an appreciation at the very top of General Motors that it's all about the product. That's what people are going to come in and buy or not. And you can do all your financial planning and all this other strategic planning. Sure. But if people don't come in your store and buy the product, forget about it. And now we see GM's top management really focused on getting terrific product in the hands of consumers.
Great product. And I got to tell you, just fairly recently, I was on a ride with engineers. We drove cars to northern Michigan and back. Every single one of those vehicles, I mean, from Spark to Cruze to Malibu to Camaro, all of them, you know, CT6, the quality, the ride, and the handle, it's just like a huge step from the previous generation of vehicle. And, you know, I'm not even talking about the styling of it. I'm just talking about the ride and the comfort and the performance is spectacular.
Okay, you're coming to the end of your career. It's an awesome time in the industry, though. We're seeing so much exciting things happen. Yeah. Electric cars, fuel cell cars, breakthroughs in aerodynamics, ride-sharing, autonomous vehicles. You're kind of sorry that you're getting out of the business at this point?
You know, my next chapter is going to be a lot of fun. there's a lot that I have planned, and I've left plenty of space for other opportunities as well. But, you know, I leave at a time, I feel so good about what we've done. I mean, I really feel good about it. I'm in a very good place about every bit of that. I'm very happy with the team that's in place. I just kind of feel like, they got it handled. It's good.
What do you think about autonomous cars, though? Don't you think this is going to change the nature of the vehicle?
Well,
especially the interior.
Interiors will change radically with the ultimate autonomous vehicles. I love to drive. I mean, I just love to drive. But there are those times when I just assume someone else do the driving for me, some of those commutes to work. The idea that that vehicle may in fact be the event and not just the transportation to the event. The fact that you and friends could, I mean, You could have meetings, you could have entertain, whatever, in that vehicle while you're going from point A to point B. It's pretty cool.
It's got to be an amazing thing that's just right around the corner here.
So, and I love what it does, even beyond all that entertainment, and the way it opens the world up for people with disabilities. That is the most tremendous thing of all, of what it will do to, because the automobile, when it was first invented, it gave people freedom. And autonomous vehicles will give freedom to people with any number of disabilities. That's cool.
Yeah, as I like to say, it will open up mobility to all segments of society.
Yes, all segments.
We're getting down to the very end here. You hinted there might be some more things. Anything that you care to mention?
Well, a number of things. I'll continue to work with GM. We're doubling the size of this design center. Whole new wing, huge facility. And I've been working very close with the architect on that, and we'll continue until that building is done. Mary Barr has asked me to consult on a couple other projects in the company. In addition, I am working on a book, which is kind of fun. Whether the book is published or not, it's fun creating it. And then I've got some other, I think, kind of interesting consulting and design projects.
It's going to be fun to watch what you do after this. Ed Welborn, thanks so much for taking the time today. Really interesting career that you've had here at General Motors.
Thank you. Time went by awful fast.
Underwriting for Autoline this week has been provided by